Today's New Testament scripture is from the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Paul wrote three pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. These were written to individuals instead of to particular churches. Titus was a young Greek convert of Paul's, whom Paul sent to the island of Crete to start the church there. This letter is Titus's commission to train and build up leaders for this new church. Paul wants these leaders to know who they are and how they are to act, how they are different in Christ. Here are Paul's words to Titus. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly, through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is true. I desire that you insist on these things, so that those who have come to believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. This is the word of the Lord. One hinge of this message is a short word that draws our attention and holds it. It's the word but. A simple conjunction that holds our attention because it contradicts how we usually find it. But is used as a conjunction that indicates the next clause will contradict the previous one. As in, I don't want to bother Sean in the middle of his conversation, but I want to introduce you. In the first clause of the sentence, I say I don't want to bother Sean in the middle of this conversation, and the conjunction but indicates that I'm going to do it anyways. These two clauses don't strictly contradict each other. We leave it to our audience to fill in the implied meaning. And when we're not clear, we leave it up to the other person to apply that meaning. It can negate the first clause completely. We typically hear what we want to hear. One of my favorite uses of the word but was with my children when they were growing up. If one of them was saying the same sentence to me, I don't want to bother Sean, but I want to introduce someone to him, I would remind them that there is only one big but in our house, and it is mine. If you don't hear the answer you want, it's not there. It would be, I don't want to bother Sean. There would be no ambiguity. But I wish I had read this text earlier in my parenting life. I would have used it like Paul does here, to contrast how we are not to behave with a behavior we should follow, such as, I know you want to introduce Sean, but you should wait until he is finished so that you don't bother him. In Paul's letter to Titus, in this teaching and training of leaders for the church, Paul gives them the reason why they are not to follow their old ways, the ways of the culture, because they are new creations in Christ through God's radically abundant grace and love through the death and resurrection of Christ. Here, the two clauses do not contradict each other. We are not left to fill in any implied meaning. Paul is very clear. Paul uses this as a reminder of the sacrifice given for this new life and how that changes who these new leaders are and how they are to present themselves. The words Paul uses, we were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another, contains nothing that sounds new. The old behaviors make us feel uncomfortable and dead, not alive. They are not life-giving, but life-draining. But the life we have in Christ frees us from all of that. The but Paul uses breaks off the negative and brings us face to face with what was and what now is. There is no question as to how our character is to be now. In our discussion in the Women's Bible Study, we talked about how we do not always behave as if we are called to this new life, that we still continue to sin. Are we ever going to be who God calls us to be? Is there no hope? We just keep slipping back. That's why every week in worship we have the opportunity to confess our sins and are given the chance to continue trying. But this also shows us the abundant love and grace of God. We are not expected to be perfect, but there is the expectation that we keep trying. In Romans 6, Paul uses a rhetorical question: how shall we who died to sin still live in it? To answer this, he is not asking, he is telling, because the answer is already in the question. If our body of sin is gone, if it is dead, we can no longer sin. Again, we need to remember the words that Paul gives us. Christ saves us. We had nothing to do with it, and he did it through the water of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit. I am a sinful person, but through baptism and Christ's grace, I cannot sin. We need to own the behavior. Transformation of character begins in the waters of baptism. We get the opportunity to remember every week in worship, and especially on Sundays when we have a baptism. Today is a typical baptism Sunday, and it's a great opportunity to remember. Though we don't have anyone to baptize today, I ask that the font be put up in front to keep the memory of our baptism front and center. We are called to remember our baptism in the words of the liturgy we use at baptism. They are, "And gracious God, touch us all with the grace of our baptism. Give us new lives to replace all that has grown tired and stale and dead in our lives, so that we may remain forever in the number of your faithful children, through Jesus Christ our Lord." The font is our reminder notice. Christ used everyday elements to keep our sacraments right in front of us, to remember more than just on Sundays. Bread for communion we eat and touch and see every day. It is always to remind us of the sacrifice Christ made for us, not just on the first Sunday of the month. Always remember the bread of life. And the water of baptism, it keeps us alive, literally. We put our hands in water throughout the day. Do we feel the Spirit as the water runs through our fingers? Or is that only when the water is poured into the font on baptisms? I personally would love to see the font full of water standing in front of us every day. There is a font in a church in Pennsylvania that looks like a well, and it stands at the back, at the narthex of the church. So whenever you enter the sanctuary, you pass through the waters. You literally enter into our story each time you walk in. Not only was it always filled with water, but it was a continually running fountain. The water rises up from the bottom, causing it to cascade over the rim of the bowl. The abundant grace of God literally cannot be held in a vessel. It continues to pour out and overflow. That is what God's grace and love is like, an eternal fountain that never runs dry. I must admit that water doesn't always make me think of my baptismal vows, but I keep trying to see it. And when I see an image of water as the life-giving grace of Christ, it is so powerful. One morning after a rainstorm while I was on a retreat in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania, I came across a rock with a hollow spot on the top. As I got closer, I could see that that hollow spot was filled with water, a naturally formed baptismal font. As I continued my walk that morning and throughout the week, I looked for examples of these baptismal waters in nature, and I found them in large and small rocks, on the fronds of large plants. Baptism stayed front and center for me that week. And this past few days, watching my grandson splash in the water of their kiddie pool reminded me of baptism. I think a big part of that is the joy the water brings. It's the joy of what our baptism is, the cleansing of the old ways that hold us back and opening us up to our new life in Christ. As I was writing this week, I kept coming back to our font here and our call to go out into the world, which are so closely tied to each other. I thought of going to the font and pouring a few drops of water in and asking, is this what God's grace is like? Are these the waters of our baptism? And then to bring in a hose and begin filling the font. Is this what God's grace looks like? Or is God's grace like leaving the hose on and allowing the water to spill over the sides and to make its way through the sanctuary, down the steps, and out into the street, to flow out to our neighbors, near and far, and continue to let it run? Can you imagine who it would touch? Who the grace of God would nourish? But it would nourish us too, as that grace flowed over us and we followed the flow. In baptism, we become new creations and our lives are changed. We are to live new lives and love our neighbor and do the good works Paul writes to Titus about. But I also think that part of doing our good works is working on living into the likeness of Christ, of struggling with that question, I keep sinning, how can I not sin? Working to continue to not sin, working on this together also. Nancy spoke in her last sermon about pitching our tents in the land of hope. Isn't this our hope too? That our sin will decrease as we live into our lives as Christians? If we are already perfect, where would our hope be? We are called to move out into the world and to spread the gospel. And this is hard work, so we need also to come back to be nourished and equipped for that service, to continually return to the baptismal font. I think that's why it is such a powerful service in January when we have our renewal of baptismal vows. In baptism, we commit to helping parents raise their children in the faith. I love the image of us doing that to each other as well. So I want to close us with the words that we say whenever we do a baptism. As we set apart this water from a common to a sacred use, pour out your Spirit upon us and on this water so that by your power, what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work, that your children, buried with Christ in baptism, may rise with him to newness of life. And gracious God, touch us all with the grace of our baptism. Give us new lives to replace all that has grown tired and stale and dead in our lives, so that we may remain forever in the number of your faithful children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I invite you all today to come sometime and dip your hand in to the living water of Christ.